speaking of the world, the Gentile world, and rejecting God. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. And it didn't end there. But, Paul continued, became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And if you've never read to the end of the chapter, I'd encourage you to do so. For you will see how an unthankful heart is associated with so many other vices, including idolatry, evolution, homosexuality, murder, the lack of natural affection, gossip, backbiting, all kinds of things that Paul lists there. Nehemiah chapter 12 shows that giving thanks was important enough that after Nehemiah had led the Jews to rebuild their wall around the city of Jerusalem, that certain people were appointed with the job of giving thanks. Now listen, it's not just to say the prayer, but to offer thanks to God, a specific kind of prayer that was to be offered up. Listen to these four different verses from Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 24. And the heads of the Levites were Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and Jeshua, the son of Kadmi, with their brothers across from them, to give or to praise and give thanks, group altering with group, according to the command of David, the man of God. Verse 31. So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. One went to the right hand on the wall toward the refuse gate. Verse 38. The other thanksgiving choir went the opposite way, and I was behind them with half of the people on the wall, going past the tower of the ovens as far as the broad wall. So the job of rebuilding the wall is done. Now they get up on top of the wall, and they dedicate a certain ceremony simply to thank God. And there were certain large groups of men in this case who were separated by Nehemiah according to orders that David had laid down centuries before to give thanks to God. And then verse 40. So the two thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God, likewise I and half of the rulers with me. And undoubtedly, God included these verses in the Bible because He wants us to get something out of it. They're not just there because Nehemiah had a good idea. God wants this done, even as parents work so hard to make sure their children give thanks. So God does the same. Psalm 119 demonstrates that David even used the middle of the night as an excuse for thanking God. And when I read this verse, I decided, you know something? There's a lot of times when I have to get up in the middle of the night, and there's different things that I'll do if I can't sleep. And you know, I've never thought about doing what is said here. But after reading this, I thought, here's another good thing to do. You can read, or you know a lot of things you might do. But verse 62 says this, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. Can you think of God's judgments? Think of how they've been righteous. Then, you know, if you have to get up in the middle of the night, you can't sleep, why not just use the time to pray, giving thanks to God for those righteous judgments? And then when you're done thinking of all the righteous judgments that come into your mind, find some other reasons for which to give thanks. Would that not be a very healthy thing to do? I wonder if God would be impressed with here's this child of mine who can't sleep, and he or she gets up and gives me thanks. Daniel chapter 6 shows that Daniel gained prominence in the Persian kingdom. But the other officers became jealous of this. So they make a law which they know Daniel will violate, because they know he will not cease thanking his God. So what they did is they made a law forbidding everyone in the empire from giving thanks to anyone, even to any god, except for the Persian king. He's the only one to give thanks. So here's what happens in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward heaven, he's not hiding it, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. This was the habit of this man, an old man at this point, but from the time of his youth, this was his habit. He gives thanks always, in everything, even if it meant breaking a law of man. And he got in trouble for it, as you know. This is what got him into the lion's den. Of course, he was, by God's power, able to escape that. I read of a preacher back in the 19th century who said, if you give me a dish of sand and tell me that there are iron particles, I can look with my eyes, I can run my fingers through it, but I won't get any iron. But give me a magnet and run it through. Of course, you probably did that from your science classes, maybe even in elementary school, and you know what happens, how the iron is attracted to the magnet. So he said the unthankful heart is like his finger in the sand. It discovers no mercies of God, it discovers no grace, no riches of God. But let the thankful heart sweep through the day like that magnet, and it will find iron, or in this case, God's iron is gold, spiritual gold, rich things. Matthew Henry, perhaps you've heard of him as a well-known Bible commentator, some of you may even have his commentary set. He was once robbed, and here's what he wrote after the experience. Let me be thankful first, because I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my purse, they did not take my wife. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. I thought that man just found every reason under the sun to be thankful over this affair. A blind preacher, again many years ago, and he lived in Scotland, he said this. My God, I have never thanked thee for my thorn. I have thanked thee 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorn. I have been looking forward to a world where I shall get compensation for my cross as itself a present glory. Teach me the glory of my cross. Teach me the value of my thorn. Show me that I have climbed to thee by the path of pain. Show me that my tears have made my rain. And didn't the Bible say in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and Ephesians 5:20 that we should give thanks always in everything? I guess that would include not only the roses, but also the thorns. There's a lot of things we can learn from our thorns in life. Rich and valuable experiences. I know that with my kidney disease, an eventual kidney transplant, well, I would consider that a thorn. I saw the love of people for God's love through people, both in the church and out of the church, that I never knew existed, that I never would have seen, probably if my health had been always good. If we look at our thorns, we can see a lot of discovery. I also read this week of two little children who were put to bed. This must have been a long time ago, from when the illustration goes here, but the story. But they were put to bed early on a winter's night because the fire had gone out and the cold was just pouring in through the cracks in the house. And the mother was trying really hard to keep her children warm, so she put boards over them. And when she did so, she saw a pair of eyes peeking up at her, and one of her children said this: "Mother, how nice this is. I pity the poor people who don't have any boards to cover their children in this cold." One lady knew that she could be thankful for everything. When she was asked how she was doing, she replied, "Yes, indeed, I have a great deal to be thankful for. I have two teeth left, and they are opposite each other." Yes, in everything, give thanks, such as in the natural realm. In Acts chapter 27, when Paul was on a ship, and they were caught in a dangerous storm, and out of fear, the others were not eating. Paul, who was a prisoner of the ship, took over almost as though he were the captain of the ship, and spoke to the people and encouraged them to eat after 2 weeks of not eating. And look what he did in verse 35. "And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. So did the other man." This man set an awesome example simply by giving thanks. Yes, and everything give thanks, including the spiritual realm. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible puts the emphasis upon the proper place. Often our emphasis is upon our nation, our bodies, our health, or other material things. And we should be thankful for all those things. And we should not back off. But I fear sometimes that we forget about the spiritual. My Wednesday night class, as you know, I'm taking one prayer out of each book of the Bible. We've just entered the New Testament. Wait till you see what is the emphasis of prayers in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the emphasis is upon spiritual things, for those are the things with which God is most concerned. And those things are eternal. In verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 4, the Bible says this: "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, spiritual quality, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving," that's a spiritual activity, "to abound to the glory of God, who is spiritual." That's where you'll find the heavy emphasis in the New Testament. Because again, that's God's first and primary concern. Yes, he takes care of the material for us, but he's far more concerned with the spiritual. I mean, think about Jesus coming into this world. I mean, Jesus knows everything. As I was driving here this afternoon, I thought to myself of all the things that Jesus knows, with which he could have helped us in this material world. He could have given us the cure for cancer. He could have told us what the problem is, whatever it is that causes cancer, and how to cure it. He could have revealed the greatest technological facts 2,000 years ago, but he didn't. There's so much he could have revealed. But what did he do? Yes, he took care of the physical part of it. He healed people. His emphasis was to help us in the spirit. And that's why our prayers need to concentrate on the spirit, though not on the spirit exclusively. In Colossians 2, the Bible makes a statement about thanksgiving for something that is spiritual. That I don't see anywhere in the New Testament where it says, where it has this kind of wording for something material. In Colossians 2, 7, Paul says that we are rooted and built up in Him, that is in Christ, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. That is, abounding in the faith with thanksgiving. Abounding in Christ with thanksgiving. Being rooted and built up in Christ, that's speaking spiritually. Established in the Spirit, in the faith, is an experience of the Spirit. It is in Christ and in the faith that we get from Him, that we are to abound in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an act of humility. I once knew a man who would not receive a gift from me because he didn't want to have to say thank you. He felt then that he was an obligation to that person. He told me these things. And he was a very arrogant man. He wanted to be the giver. He didn't want you to be. He didn't want to be on the receiving end. And I think these next two illustrations I want to give you illustrates how that thanksgiving is an act of humility. The Maasai tribe in West Africa has an unusual way of saying thank you. What they will do to express thanks is they will bow down, put their foreheads on the ground, and say, "My head is in the dirt." Isn't that really a picture of humility? And that's how they would say, "I thank you for what you've given to me." When members of another African tribe want to express gratitude, they sit for a long time in front of the hut of the person who did them a favor and literally say, "I sit on the ground." Let us, therefore, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We are an obligation to Him, whether we realize it or not. Let us see that life, not just God, but life itself, is greater than us. We have so much for which to be thankful, not only to God, of course, but to others. Well, so much good can be done. We show our gratitude both to God and to men. God is the giver of life and of all good things of life, both for the body and for the spirit. If you believe that you have committed the sin of ingratitude, I plead with you and I encourage you to repent of it, to change your heart, and determine that from this point out, I'm going to do just what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says. In everything, I'm going to give thanks. And even when the circumstances seem pretty bad, I'm going to look for reasons in which to give thanks. And if it's been bad enough in your heart, and you think it's affected other people, then we want to pray for you. We sing our invitation song here in just a few moments. As we say, go through this psalm. Look at your life. Look at how you express yourself. How you express yourself to God and to others. And if you think that you need our prayers and our support, we'd be delighted to give it to you. Please come forward right now as we stand and sing.